The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
It is the 9 till noon show and it's Michaela Clark in this morning for Grey Cues. Welcome along to Monday's edition of the show. Very foggy Monday morning it is, and it seems to be getting foggier as the morning progresses. As it's Monday, we'll be joined later by Brendan Devaney to chat all things relating to the DL debate, what he's got coming up and what happened on the GAA front over the weekend. And this week's Monday focus is all about food waste. Coming up also, given that it's just 4 days until people cast their vote in the presidential election, we'll be discussing the ongoing campaign. So you can get in touch on all the usual channels. You can give us a call on 074 91 25000, or text or WhatsApp 086 60 25000, and you can also email comments at highlandradio.com. We're going to have a look at the papers first, and the sad news emerged yesterday, one of the main stories on the front of the Donegal News. So, sadness at death of Peter O'Donnell. The funeral will take place in Raphoe on Wednesday morning of one of the legends of sport in Donegal, the county's own Mr. Boxing, Peter O'Donnell. The Raphoe man, who dedicated much of his life to the sport he loved, passed away peacefully on Sunday morning. President of the County Donegal Boxing Board since 2012, Peter was undoubtedly one of the leading figures in boxing here in the Northwest. As PRO of Donegal Boxing for many years, he became a valued friend of those working in local media in Donegal, writing up his weekly boxing reports and ensuring that the sport received coverage in the papers and on local radio. And Peter was indeed a regular contributor to the 9 till noon show, so our thoughts and prayers are very much with Peter's family during this difficult time. And a lovely tribute to Peter was broadcast yesterday here on Highland Radio, so you can listen back to that on our website, highlandradio.com. Moving now to the Derry news. Altna Galvin impacted by cessation of emergency general surgery at SWA is the headline. Fermanagh cleric Father Brian Darcy has spoken out about the effect the cessation of emergency general surgery at Enniskillen's Southwest Acute Hospital is having on his community. Father Darcy was part of a delegation from the Save Our Acute Services campaign group invited to make a presentation to Derry City and Strabane District Council's Health and Community Committee. Joining on Thursday afternoon, Father Darcy described the cessation as having a catastrophic effect on the ordinary people I have to deal with in my daily work as voluntary pastor in the health service. His SOAS colleagues who were in the chamber highlighted research showing the resulting pressure the EGS cessation was placing on Derry's Altna Galvin Hospital. And we talk so much about healthcare, the pressures facing the service, and how people, you know, we hear time and time again as well about people waiting months and years for an appointment. And Altna Galvin Hospital in Derry is under immense pressure, and that pressure obviously transcends so many boundaries. We talk about it here relating to Letterkenny University Hospital. And just to think then that, you know, the hospital in Enniskillen is being, that service is being removed from there, and the, you know, that added pressure then is being picked up by Altna Galvin. Never mind the people having to make that journey from Enniskillen to Derry and back then when they're in need of the general surgery. Looking now to the Irish Times, presidential candidates trade harsh words as vote nears is the headline. This paper's always so big, takes up that much room. So the final days of the presidential campaign look set to be dominated by confrontational exchanges between the two candidates after both traded a strongly worded personal criticism of each other over the weekend, including claims of new lows and hypocrisy. Independent candidate Catherine Connolly accused Heather Humphreys of a new low in the manner she described the Galway West TD's work as a barrister before entering politics. The Fine Gael candidate said in a newspaper interview yesterday that she, Miss Humphreys, never tried to make money out of people's misfortune. This was a reference to Miss Connolly's work representing banks in home possession cases. So Miss Connolly then obviously labelled this a new low in the presidential campaign, but I'm sure she knew that Heather Humphreys was going to come at her in on so many fronts, and no doubt Heather Humphreys was prepared for that as well. But the campaign has been kind of, you know, muted. There's been so much thrown at Catherine Connolly, in terms of different things, and she kind of, you know, just takes it kind of addresses it and appears to be able to move on from that. But maybe things will heat up this week, but to date, maybe as well because, you know, there's no local representative running for the Aras that we're kind of a bit removed and it's more of a national story. But maybe over the next coming days, we'll have a bit more discussion on that. And as I said earlier, we'll be chatting a little more about that coming up later in the show. The Irish Daily Star, the government is to bring in Jenny's Law to name and shame thugs who subject their loved ones to domestic abuse behind closed doors, it has emerged. But the family of Jennifer Poole, the murder victim the new register is to be named after, last night said she would be alive today if it was operating when she met the domestic abuser who later stabbed her to death. Her brother Jason Poole told the paper, "For us as a family, it's amazing to see that Jenny's Law will be there and that women and men in the future will be protected by that, but we don't get Jennifer back." It is, I don't know if it would be, you know, comforting for her family to see that, you know, this is bringing about change. But as her brother had just said there, Jason Poole, that, you know, it's not going to bring her back, but they've made great efforts to ensure that other women won't face the same outcome as Jennifer. And I suppose this should have been brought in long, long ago. So many women have died at the hands of men in this country. And I've seen so many women as well taken to social media recently and posting videos and documenting the abuse that they've suffered. And I suppose they feel that they have no other platform. You know, this law didn't exist and, you know, hopefully it's coming into force now. But they felt that that was their way of helping other women and possibly protecting another woman. But that then in itself has so many legal repercussions as well. You know, men could argue that it's a disgruntled ex, but hopefully now this will come into force and protect women and men in the future. The Irish Daily Mirror, Martin slams those who dishonour the tricolour. The Taoiseach has said people who use the tricolour to suggest they alone represent Irishness dishonour our national flag. He made the comments as he delivered a rain-soaked speech at Bowdenstown Graveyard during Fianna Fáil's annual commemoration of the 18th century Irish revolutionary Theobald Wolfe-Tone. He led a French military force to Ireland during the 1798 rebellion, and standing by his grave, the Taoiseach said Tone was celebrated by the generation of idealists who gave us our national flag. He says those who try and claim that there is a fixed national identity do not understand Irish history, or that our identity has survived because we've been willing to evolve and be more inclusive. So his comments come following the erection of tricolours on a lot of lampposts across the country. And we've seen it here in Donegal as well. And, you know, people can fly their flags, they can do what they want, but it appears to be being used as part of a campaign against immigration. So I suppose it's kind of losing then what the tricolour means. The Irish Independent now, higher number of men are reporting historical sexual abuse in schools. A higher number of men are now coming forward to report historical sexual abuse in schools as a result of others coming forward and having their voices heard, the 1 in 4 support service has said. The highest number of child sexual abuse disclosures on record were reported to the Specialist Support Service for Adult Survivors in 2024. Contacts to the service, especially from men, increased by 17%, with 7,674 support sessions delivered to 1,292 individuals. That's a huge amount of people seeking support, and it's a positive indication that, you know, men are feeling that they can come forward now. There's existed a stigma around this for so, so long that that now is being diluted, and to see that people are receiving the support that they no doubt desperately need is brilliant. So hopefully that figure will continue to increase. And I suppose the discussion then moves to, you know, the entire process. If they, you know, make a report, it's a different element then. But if they make a report, the court proceedings, the investigation, is it taking too long for people? And is that discouraging men and women coming forward? Looking now to the Irish Daily Mail. So the UK's King Charles threatened to have Prince Andrew officially stripped of his titles unless he saw sense. Charles made clear he would not hesitate to take decisive further action if his brother refused to give up his honours after he lied about cutting ties with paedophile Jeffrey Epstein, it can be revealed. The Mail understands that despite the tsunami of evidence against him, the former Duke of York was digging his heels in with a startling lack of contrition. The only way for Charles to legally strip Andrew of his titles would have been to take it through the British Parliament, and he has never wished to take up its time and resources in dealing with the matter. But last week he privately made clear to Andrew that a raft of options were open to him if he did not fall on his sword. And with a narrowing window of opportunity to grasp before the situation spun further out of its control, the palace made its move on Friday. So you will have seen that Andrew did renounce his titles over the weekend, and I suppose should have happened long before now. And I'm no royalist, but it's a nice, or not a nice, it's a good indication that maybe this administration now in King Charles is, making progress. And I suppose it was very difficult, Andrew's mother, to, possibly put that pressure on her son. But it's a good step forward. Finally for now, The Sun feels as if there's a Netflix documentary coming in relation to this. So brazen burglars escaped with a priceless haul of historic jewellery in a 7-minute raid yesterday at the Louvre, the world's most visited art museum. The gang, posing as workmen to get in, ransacked two display cases and fled with 9 pieces, dropping a gem-encrusted crown. Detectives in Paris were last night hunting the three or four man team following the 9 a.m. opening time heist at the museum. So they used a flatbed truck, and there's photos circulating where it shows the truck up on the River Seine side of the museum, and they use an extendable ladder then to get to the first floor, and then a chainsaw to get in. And obviously, given the time that it is, the alarms have been disarmed, so they're able to gain access to the museum. But what they did steal was many tiaras, 2 tiaras, a necklace made from sapphire, an earring part of a pair, an emerald necklace, and 2 brooches. So it's just crazy that in this day and age people can enter the museum and steal such objects. It's just crazy. But obviously, any staff would have assumed that, they were just there to work. Anyway, that's what's making the papers today. If you've any comments regarding any of those items, get in touch.
Highland Radio Time Checks, brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is...
The time is now 18 minutes past 9. Now, the possibility of sunflower parking being brought to Donegal Town has been proposed by Councillor Jimmy Brogan. We're joined now on the line by Councillor Brogan. Good morning to you.
Morning, how's it going?
Good. So I suppose, Councillor, if you can describe to us, what is sunflower parking in the first instance?
Well, basically sunflower parking is it's basically the way they put aside parking spots, similar to like age-friendly parking or parent and child parking. The idea would be that would be kept for people with hidden disabilities. Now, there's a wide range of hidden disabilities, and these would be people that would have a disability but wouldn't necessarily be entitled to a disabled parking badge, So mm-hmm. The things like autism or learning difficulties, mental health disorders, even things like, visual and hearing impairments, or even more serious things than COPD or other illnesses, So a lot of people, like I say, wouldn't have a disabled parking badge, but they would need somewhere sort of quiet and more secure to park. And the idea would be to have a couple of these parking bays and around the car parks in Donegal Town.
And I suppose we do see a lot of people wearing the sunflower lanyards, so that's obviously who this is directed towards. Would there be, disabled parking bays, people have a badge or they have a card? Will there be something like that in relation to this as well, to identify those users?
Well, they haven't worked the whole thing out yet, but mm-hmm. possibly they will. But we think at the minute it'll be up to drivers themselves to police it, that if you have a disability that you can park there. But if obviously if you don't, then similar to an age-friendly parking spot, mm-hmm. That you don't, normal other drivers wouldn't park there, But if you had an issue, then you could park there,
Yeah. You've been working with Donegal Town Mayor Anna Gallagher on this. She joins us now as well. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So this is obviously something that you see would be hugely beneficial for Donegal Town as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it represents the hidden disabilities in our community. A lot of people facing different challenges, like Jimmy was saying, aren't immediately obviously. So when I came with this, when I approached Jimmy with this idea, I had been speaking to a lot of people around the community that wanted something practical. Mm-hmm. It's a way of showing compassion and awareness by giving something practical to people that need to be closer to services or are finding it difficult, as Jimmy said there, with different ailments, different non-obvious health concerns that are finding making their trip into town to go about their business difficult. So in a practical way, if we can alleviate some of the stress out of making their daily routine to go about their business easier, well then, as mayor of the town, that's something I'm all in favour of.
And is it something, Anna, that would be you would like to be included in all parking or all car parks, or is it close to certain facilities such as, say, a couple of spaces close to shops and, you know, maybe some included at schools? Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose we can't dictate what is right for every person, but we would try and highlight the main areas. Like before I approached Councillor Jimmy Brogan there, I spoke with the County Council themselves as well, and I put a poll out to the families of children, people with children with disabilities, and young adults with disabilities, and again, speaking to people around the town that have disabilities themselves. And the poll suggested different places in the town that they found would be of more beneficial to them. So you have to listen to what the people want. Mm-hmm. And they're dealing with this on a daily basis. So there's no point in the likes of myself coming up or the County Council with the ideal spot. It mightn't be ideal at all. It may be, it has to come from the people that are living the lives of disabilities. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we've taken our communication from the parents. The poll came back and it had given sort of two strong areas of the town that they felt these parking spaces would have been of most benefit.
Mm-hmm. And we got a text.
And I mean, why not let it roll out to other towns? You know, if something has to start somewhere and then it becomes the norm, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's a good idea and it does need respect from other users and other road users, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think Councillor Brogan touched on that as well. It will need a level of respect and understanding from other road users as well,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And Councillor Brogan, have you seen it in operation in other parts of the world?
Well, I haven't actually seen it, but I've heard of it happening. I know they tried it down in County Waterford, I think it was Dungarvan, and I know in County Westmeath as well, the council there were putting it forward, like, you know, to see what they get going as well. Like, you know, so I know it does exist around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen it personally, but I know it exists around the country. So isn't it, why not, you know, why not step up now and get it done here, like, you know, and roll it out across Donegal, really, you know, but...
Yeah.
We can start with Donegal Town anyway, see how it works, I guess, and then we can roll it out across the county then if needed. You know.
And we do see some issues, and it is highlighted on and off about disabled parking bays being abused, but generally people are, you know, they do adhere to the signs that are in place, and including, you know, you highlighted earlier the child and family parking spaces. So hopefully, you know, that would continue as well in relation to this.
Yeah, well, the majority of people, I think, do adhere to the rules, like, you know, when they understand that people, obviously, with elderly people or people with children need the spaces close to the shop door, mm-hmm. like, you know, and it'll be the same with these sunflower parking bays. Hopefully, people will respect them and leave them there for the people that need them, you know.
And you have raised it with the council. What response did you get in relation to that?
Yeah, well, just at the last MD meeting, we raised it, and the council said they would look into it now and explore the possibility. And they, you know, they didn't. They said they would do it now, so just have to do a few. They would have to look into it further first, but you know, they didn't say they weren't going to do it. They just said that hopefully over the next couple of months they'll get it in place.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't given us a timeline or anything, but hopefully by the
next
because
year,
it's not something that you know would take a long time to implement, is it?
No. So the parking spaces there. You just have to put the mark on them. You know, pick the parking spots that they want, and then put a sign on it or the emblem on it. You know, to make sure nobody uses it, only the people that need it. Mm-hmm. So it'll not take long. It's not very costly or anything like it. It was just a matter of painting a couple of parking spaces.
You know, it's about the parking spaces, but you know, it just shows sort of empathy and inclusion, and it is a leading example. And if we can make life a bit easier for someone, then I think it's absolutely worth doing. As Jimmy said, it's not a costly thing that we're rolling out here or reinventing the wheel. It's just about marking these spaces differently to make life a little bit easier for people in our community.
And there is such a need, you know, we cover here regularly as well, of support for people who, you know, need things like this. You know, they don't feel that they need to take up a disabled parking bay, but they need support as well. So it's about that, providing everything we can for those people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I suppose you're representing hidden disabilities, because these are very real challenges that aren't immediately obvious, but they're very real for the person. And these spaces, they're simple and they're a practical way maybe of showing a bit of compassion and a bit of awareness to individuals experiencing, you know, day-to-day, going about your business that a lot of us take for granted, and that we can go about day-to-day and do our chores and get our banking done and get our groceries and get to the chemist. And, you know, if we could roll these out, and as Jimmy said, it's a simple, practical way of just letting people know in our community that we see them and we respect them. And it may take them longer to go about their parking and their business in town, but it's just to sort of recognise that that it's so important to just be aware of other people around us and to respect the parking space that is needed.
Yeah. And Anna, we got a text in to say it's hard enough to find a disabled parking space. Will the number of disabled parking spaces be increased? Do you think that within Donegal Town, I know that's where we're speaking about that, there does need to be an increase in such spaces?
Look, there's always a need for improvement. I always think, you know, you can always improve things. So as the town grows, obviously there'll be more spaces made available. And disability, for me, I'm always, and other local councillors, we're always trying to champion everything that's good and everything that is needed. Mm-hmm. And we will keep sort of highlighting these issues with the council and through our local representatives, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the councillors are very aware of, we all have family members that maybe need extra access, and we have friends. So we're very aware, like, we're living our day-to-day life in Donegal Town, and we can see what can be improved. And of course, as mayor of town, I can sort of highlight these to our councillors, and then they can go further ahead and to the county council. And that's good communication. It's good joining the dots. It's good talking to people out in the community that needs these services. And yes, it is difficult for anybody, even with the blue badge. My own mother has one. And, you know, so it's not that we're talking about something that we're not living every day and seeing every day. Yes, we are. And is there room for improvement? Of course there is. Yeah.
Well, Anna Gallagher, Donegal Town Mayor and Independent Councillor Jimmy Brogan, a great idea and great to have on the table. And hopefully now that will be delivered in the near future. Thank you both so much for joining me this morning.
And if we could, and thank you, if we could say as well, you know, we could roll this out. If this go, you know, if Jimmy and I get this across the board now in Donegal Town, why couldn't it be, you know, delivered across the whole county?
Yeah,
you know, it's
exactly.
Just a starting point.
Yeah. Anna, thank you so much.
For your time.
And obviously that is a clear need right across the county. Some of you have been getting in touch in relation to that. Beautiful idea. Congratulations to all involved. Another listener says it's a brilliant idea, but unfortunately people will abuse it as they do the disabled parking spaces. But yes, we have to start somewhere. I did mention that during the course of the interview, but it's not everyone that does abuse them. It is a small cohort of people, and, you know, generally people do adhere to, you know, disabled parking bays and family spaces within car parks. Another listener says, beautiful idea, but what proof will be given to people to use this disabled spaces? Have badges for proof of use? Yeah, at the moment, as part of plans, there isn't any particular plans to identify anybody who does need such spaces, but obviously they know who they are, and people who don't think that they need to benefit, hopefully they will leave those spaces empty and that nobody will abuse it. And I think it's good as well that you don't have to identify, people don't want to, be sticking up a disabled badge on their car if they feel they don't want to, if it feels that it highlights their disability more. So these are good. They're a bit, more friendly for people to use, and they don't have to, stick that badge up. So hopefully it does come to fruition and we see it put in place in car parks in Donegal Town, and then as both Jimmy and Anna highlighted there, that it could be rolled out countywide as well. Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, the Ballymacool Road Active Travel Project. So Donegal County Council is seeking to establish a high-quality continuous footway and cycleway route along the R250 Ballymacool Road to promote active travel journeys from residential areas to key education, employment, commercial, recreational, retail and tourist destinations in Letterkenny. Now, as part of this project, it is proposed to provide new and or upgraded pedestrian facilities on both sides of the carriageway and a new segregated cycling facility on the southern side of the carriageway. The project shall include land take within the scheme extent and the relocation of existing on-road parking at Ballymacool Terrace. Now, there has been some concerns in relation to these proposed plans. I'm joined by Chair of Aintree in Donegal, Rebecca McDade. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Michaela. How are you?
Good, thank you. So what are these main concerns in relation to the proposed changes in this active travel project?
Well, you have two very important different things that are, one is the Ballymacool residents and the business owners in that area. Mm-hmm. They all have their own individual needs there, and collective needs as residents. And then you also have other things to do with the town. We need a relief road. That's imperative.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the main artery coming into the town from everybody coming in from Glenties and Fintown and that side of Low. So that's their main way into Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a relief road for sure. Because when the works would be carried out, and bearing in mind they could last up to a year,
mm-hmm.
so it's a real bottleneck there as it is. So there needs to be a relief road, and there is a possibility, and there is planning and time to come for a different idea, which I think that needs to be revisited and needs to be done now.
Okay.
Because
in relation to this, obviously, you said there is another idea. We've seen the roadworks that are ongoing at the minute in Letterkenny and the impact that's had on traffic moving about the town, coming in and out of the town, that, it needs to be done right if people are going to absorb the impact of this.
It does. Because as I was saying, you have the council that need to plan ahead. So we've got to plan ahead for the town and the growth of the town. We've a massive growth in the town as it has been already with new people coming into the town. So we have more of a population now than even 5-10 years ago. And then there's a plan for 170 houses out in Ballymacool
mm-hmm.
to be built. So that's another group of people and the population that needs to be catered for.
Yeah.
And they're not all going to be walking or on bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And what we don't want to see is another Eamon Ryan scenario mm-hmm. where they want people to be on their bikes and on scooters or whatever, and then somebody else come behind with all their paperwork to work. That's
mm-hmm.
not going to happen.
Mm.
So you can't ignore that scenario,
Yeah.
And obviously when you have 170 houses, you still need to plan for at least one car per house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another 170
And it's such
cars.
A busy area as it is. It's hugely busy.
Yes. And you have the Aura. So there's so many people coming in and out to there, and they do have busloads of people that go in and out to there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. And another very important thing, Michaela, and I know I've talked about it before, because I have worked as an SNA on the bus, you know, and I work with autistic children,
mm-hmm.
they cannot, and this is something really important, they cannot, under any circumstances, be held up in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a case that we cannot ever allow. And that's why I'm demanding it at this stage, that a relief road be made before any works would be carried out. Because what they proposed is not bad and for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But the town is not ready for it just yet.
And where would you really envisage that relief road going, Rebecca?
Well, to be honest with you, I had first of all thought about what was the original road that was meant to be done at Charlie Kelly's going to the back of Dunn Stores.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really think about it, that's already another bottleneck. That journey this morning was absolutely shocking,
mm-hmm.
Because of everybody coming into that junction and the wee roundabout at the Old Town Bridge and having to, you know, get over the Old Town Bridge to get into the town from that side. So. And we live out there, so we know, we do it every morning. We know exactly what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't bring the road down there, but a cycle path would be a very good idea down that direction.
Mm-hmm.
There is a plot of ground behind Balmacool residence, which will be up alongside the hostel.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it on the map on the night, and I said, what's the blue line? So that's a plan and future for the future, to have like a cycle path and a walkway through the forestry up to the back road.
Okay.
And it's meant to be with an idea for the school children to take them off the main road and go in that direction. But you know what? That would be the best relief road possible in that direction of town. If that was developed, because to be honest, I wouldn't like to have any child or any adult walking through a forestry, no matter how wide the road would be.
Yeah, not in their own, definitely.
If you don't have passing cars, from a safety point of view.
Mm.
So I don't like that idea on its own. But if it was opened up that there was a road there where you have active road users on that road all the time, that is a perfect solution.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take the traffic away up into the back road, and all the school children, all those schools would be serviced in that way. And then the people going into the town that doesn't need to go near the school area will have more freedom to move.
Yeah.
So that is something that really needs to be looked at, and it needs to be developed now. That's not something for 20, 30, 40 years time. That's no good, because it's no benefit to us then.
Yeah.
It will be a massive benefit to us now. You know, taking away the parking spaces in the front of the Palmacool residence, that is not serviceable for them at the minute, and it's not something that's realistic for them at the minute.
Mm.
And John will explain,
yeah,
because when you're a resident from the area, you understand it more.
Yeah. One of those residents is John McKeever, and he joins us now as well. Good morning, John.
Morning, Michaela. How are you?
Good. So, John, I'm sure you agree with Rebecca in many aspects of this. What, as a resident, as someone living there, dealing with this day in, day out, what do you fear in relation to this proposed project?
Well, Michaela, we were over at the meeting in the station house with the engineers, and they showed us some beautiful maps and pictures and all, and it actually looks beautiful on the pictures. But my concern, the main concern of Balmacool residents so far, is they're taking away our parking outside the house.
Mm-hmm.
We've always parked there, and they said they're going to put a parking bay at the top of Balmacool up at the end of the terrace.
And how far away would that be of a walk, bay, John?
Oh, Michaela, you're chatting maybe a couple hundred yards to my house anyway, you know. And what he said then, Michaela, was he said he'd give us 26 parking bays and 2 disabled, or maybe 3 disabled at the most. So I asked him then, was this car park for residents only? And he said, no, it'd be public. So you can imagine, Michaela, if
there's
a
match out in the
Ronald Park and people parking there. And now my daughter, she's only after having a child there a couple of months back, and she asked him, she says, well, what do I do if I need to take the child down the house? Because we live at the very bottom of the terrace.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, could you not carry the child down?
Right.
And she says, well, what about me shopping? And he says, could you not carry that down? Now, I know the man wasn't being flippant, but it just seemed to be sort of like, sure, he's got a parking bay. So I said then, would it be any chance of they could divide the parking bays?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, we could give you maybe 8 down below and maybe 12 or so up above. That's still only 26.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not convenient for us Michaela, to have what they're suggesting. Now, on the map, Michaela, what he showed us, a widened our footpath more or less doubled it.
Right.
And then there's across the road, there's a double cycle bay and a double footpath. Now, I've been born rare down there. I've lived there all my life. The traffic at the moment, it's unbelievable. You see it yourself, you're going out there, and you cannot.
Mm.
Like, it's unbelievable. It's like a motorway up and down there. There's another 180 houses being built out in Ballymacool. That's all coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've narrowed the road's actually narrowed.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we're going to manage, you know.
And it obviously needs to be widened as opposed to being narrowed, yeah. And in terms of...
When you look at...
In terms of the plans,
Michaela,
John...
When you look at a...
Go on ahead.
Sorry, Michaela. No, I'm just saying, when you look at a double parking bay, or a double cycle bay, and a lane, and a double footpath, and a widened footpath, surely the road has to be narrowed.
Mm. And in terms of the parking spaces and these proposed parking bays away from the houses, is there any plans for that land to be purchased prior to the works, or is that going to be developed afterwards, do you know?
Well, he did say that. He says we'd have to consult some of the residents' own gardens or allotments behind the houses.
Okay.
Then they'll have to, there's a businessman that owns the land across from where they're chatting about building the car park.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have to be in consultation with them as well.
Yeah.
But we would need somewhere to park, Michaela, before this work starts.
Yeah.
Like, you
absolutely.
Know, we just can't come and start work. And that's my fear, Michaela, that some morning we're going to get up and there are going to be double yellow lines in the front of the house.
Mm.
Because, we need to park. You need to park outside your house. God. And the way it is, Michaela, and at the moment now, he was saying us, no cars can park on Ballymacool when they get this done.
Yeah.
Ballymacool has a cul-de-sac at the end of the house. You can't drive up the back of the houses. So mm-hmm. the oil man has to stop in the middle of the main road and bring an oil pipe at this day and age through your house to fill your oil tanks.
Mm,
so if he can't get the park at the front of Ballymacool, how do you get oil? How does people get oil? And how does people get, you know, their groceries? And the disabled parking thing as well, like when it's at the top of the terrace, how do you come down if you're living at the bottom and you're disabled? You'll come the whole way down the terrace.
You know, you wouldn't expect anybody to do it. And at that meeting last week, John, you know, did they take these concerns on board?
They did. And what do you call it, Michaela? They were sort of, you know, sort of like, well, this money has to be spent, you know. And it's sort of this, more or less, this is what we're doing, this is what you think. You know, mm-hmm. there's businesses across the road, there's local people live across the road from me. Apparently they're taking their gardens. You know, it just was sort of, and then they threw in sort of, well, it's not happening for a couple of years, but a couple of years are flying.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I'm all in favour, Michaela, if they're going to do, you see from the end of Ballymacool Terrace, right out to Ora and fix that footpath there and put lighting. That's badly needed for people going out into the Ora Leisure Centre and out there on the parking place they get.
Mm-hmm.
But what they have on the plans here, it's nonsense to me, really, you know.
Mm. And Rebecca, there is a meeting coming up this week, and I suppose, Rebecca, you'd be encouraging as many residents to come forward and make their views known at that as well.
Yes, everybody needs to get involved because it is happening all over the town in different areas. So it's going to affect somebody else in another area at some later stage. So we would ask the people to come to the meeting and listen to what it is that we have to say and look at all of the things. There's a lot of pros and cons, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's more cons than there are pros at this stage. And we don't want, it's not a case of going against the council. We want to work with them, but it needs to work both ways and it needs to be practical and it needs to work on a common sense approach because you have safety and emergency, you know, access needed all of the time there too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the wider footpath, the narrow road, you have, obviously people are going to die and you need to get your people out of your houses.
Mm-hmm.
When a hearse comes, you have all of the practicalities of those type of things. Emergency services coming in. You know, that has to be all thought ahead of as well. It's all about planning ahead. So what we're doing is we're trying to give them the scenarios of, well, this is real life. This is what we have to think about. How do we get around the A, B, C, D, E, and all of the different things that we have to think about now? Because if they take the parking space away and they do what's planned, the residents has got to think about how they're going to live their life around that. And cycle base, I'm sorry, Michaela, cycle base is not going to help them now. It's parking space that they need.
And well, as John mentioned there, you know, he was on about his daughter having a baby and coming home with her groceries. You know, she's not going to cycle home with the baby and the groceries, so she needs that parking.
Well, it's the reason why I said we don't want an Eamon Ryan scenario where you're going to work on your bike and somebody else is driving behind you with your paperwork in the car. We can't have that. We're not ready for that.
Yeah.
You know, that's totally, you know, and nobody can afford to sleep on the job at this stage. We need to think ahead, and the people have got to get behind one another. So if it's another area in town that you're living in, you think, well, it doesn't affect me there. Trust me, it's coming to your door at some stage because they want to have certain things in place around the town. But the infrastructure's not there. We do not have buses, enough buses that will take the people from their homes, lift them from outside their homes, take them into town. We don't have those facilities. And not everybody is going to be able to have an electric car either because it's not always going to be practical for them.
Yeah.
Now, that's another thing even to think about to the people on the row there, the residents of Ballymacool. You know, if they did have an electric car, where are they going to charge it? Because how are they going to get it charged? So, you know, are they going to have a plug at the front of the house but they're not going to have parking there? How are they going to get out the back when there's already no access to the back of those houses? These are practical things, Michaela. It's not that just that we're just trying to object for the sake of objecting.
It's just not feasible here in its current form. And John,
it's just in its current form, and at this particular time, it's not the time for it. If all of the other things are in place and relief roads are made and it eases the pressure off, could you imagine now narrowing the road at Ballymacool, widening it for footpath and for bikes? But there's not going to be that many bikes on it, and we know that. And there's a lady there on the terrace who is a cyclist, and she knows she will not be using a cycle lane.
Right.
So for what amount of people will be using the cycle lane, it's not practical, and it does not service the people that are there now. The people need space for their cars. Plus, the other thing that I mentioned as well is that if somebody was going out that road at the minute and they make a mistake and there's an accident, whatever protection you have from your for your home, when a car is parked out the front, at least the car will hit another car first. But if you don't have that, they're straight in your front door. And what protection does the people in the houses have then? Because if the road is narrowed, you have a narrower space for people who will make mistakes. It will happen. And you also have to think, this is another one that I actually forgot to mention. When you have two buses meeting together, two coaches, two lorries, one of the businessmen there needs Arctic lorries going into his property all the time there for his delivery. Where are these people going to go? If the road is narrowed, what's the plan that we have been told? It takes an awful lot of space off the parking for his business. So if you pull into the business when you're trying to reverse out, because you can't get swung around in one go to get out of there, you don't have that space because you don't even have the full length of his van in order to park, you're actually going to be reversing out onto a cycleway.
Right.
Now, if there's an accident there and a cyclist is hit, who's to blame?
And it's such a narrow route anyway that it just, you know, I can't envisage that road being narrowed.
It's totally impractical. And you have to actually walk the road. You need to be there. You need to be there to understand. It's not that wide. If the certain things, decisions are made and parts of the road is widened and the corner's taken away, and I know that that means dealing with the property owners and the landowners, and that's, I mean, that's obvious. We know that. But if that much was done, that's a massive boost and a massive help to anybody who's walking in that area, anybody who might want to be on a bike in that area. And they only need to do it on one side of the road. They don't need to do it both sides. They don't need double. You know, that's not necessary. But they certainly can give, they need the drivers to have a little bit more space as well, because there isn't much room, even going up the back road there. When you have two vehicles meeting together, there isn't an awful lot of room for manoeuvre between there. If you happen to have, what's this big wide footpath, if you happen to have a child at the edge of the footpath closest to the road and they make a mistake, they lose their balance, they fall out, there's nowhere for a car to go. They literally have nowhere to waver. There's no support there for a driver whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But there's a big, wide footpath for anybody to walk on. But that doesn't cover and cater for the driver if the pedestrian makes a mistake and loses their balance and falls out onto the road.
Mm.
And in most cases, you can imagine the driver will always be blamed.
And John, do you see it working in any form, as Rebecca highlighted there, that it could, the cycle lane could be on one side of the road?
Well, Michaela, the way I look at it, you know, like it's a cycle lane out and it's a cycle lane in, and as I say, you have a double footpath on each side of the cycle lane and then you have the wide footpath. And just on the parking, Michaela, going back there, they were saying they're giving us base for 26 cars. Myself and my son walked the road last night and we counted 37 cars on a Sunday evening.
Yeah,
now, that's
so not
people coming
enough
back from work,
yeah,
or, you know, and there's not enough. But, you know, this whole thing, like it starts at, over, as I call it, the corner shop, and it was out at Donald Park, and I just can't really see it working at the moment the way it is.
Mm.
Like the speed in the road is the way it is. I know one guy was chatting to him. He said, "Well, we're thinking about putting a ramp at the top, and maybe a ramp down to the bottom. Maybe that might slow things down, but I just can't see it working at the minute.
Mm.
If the road's been narrowed, it's not going to help us.
Yeah,
it's not going to help. You know,
Michaela, there's another thing there.
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Sorry, John. When they talk about the wide footpath and the road, you know, the road's narrowed and the cycle path is going into what John would call the corner shop there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always remembered as Proctor's, believe it or not. That's how long ago I remember that for. But the cycle lane stops then. Where does people go then? They're on the road. There's mm-hmm. nowhere for them to go.
Yeah, so it's not even enhancing the facilities for the overall town then, whenever you consider it's not joined up.
Correct. It is not tying in with what we have in the rest of the town, because the rest of the town is not ready for it.
Mm.
So it's putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
And it's Michaela, we have
Yeah, go on ahead, John.
Sorry, Michaela, we have elderly residents living there as well, you know, and already we have 3 disabled parking bays in the terrace, you know, and these things are moved, catering for their houses, like, you know, How do they get under their houses? Like, it's just, it is a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And I you know, as Rebecca there mm-hmm. did say, it affects everyone in the area. It's from Daly Terrace right at the Salad Green. It affects everyone in the area, like, you know.
Yeah.
And the people from Daly Terrace and Swally View, I don't know where they're going to park. It's just, it's a real mess at the minute. But maybe, what I really suggest is maybe the, like, an engineer come down and meet the residents, walk around with us. We'll show him what we think would work for us,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I can't see real no way out of it, Michaela.
Yeah. Well, that meeting is tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. in the Station House Hotel in Letterkenny. And thank you so much, John and Rebecca, for joining me. That is John McKeever, resident of Ballymacool in Letterkenny, and Rebecca McDade, chair of Aintree in Donegal. So anybody living in that area with any concerns, you can come along to that meeting tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. in the Station House Hotel in Letterkenny.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhenney's. Our Christmas shop has now opened for all your festive shopping needs. Explore our extensive range of decorations, bedding and more in our homeware department, in-store or shop online at McElhenney's.com today.
Today's weather, sunny spells and showers after some early mist and fog patches. Highest temperatures of 12 to 14 degrees. The news at 10 is coming up next.